Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Text 38. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam yoga sang siddha kalena atmani vindati. In this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism. And one who has become accomplished in the practice of devotional service enjoys this knowledge within himself in due course of time. Purport, when we speak of transcendental knowledge, we do so in terms of spiritual understanding. As such, there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our bondage, and knowledge is the cause of our liberation. This knowledge is the mature fruit of devotional service, and when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he need not search for peace elsewhere, for he enjoys peace within himself. In other words, this knowledge and peace culminate in Krishna consciousness. That is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam yoga sang siddha kalena atmani vindati. Praise of knowledge. Herein Krishna is praising knowledge. Transcendental knowledge. He describes it as yoga sang siddha, which Srila Prabhupada translates as the mature fruit of all mysticism. In other words, after going through all yogas, then all stages of yoga, if one comes to the platform of knowledge, that is the perfection. This knowledge is a specific feature of human life. We don't find dogs and cats going to the universities. Well, the human beings going to the universities may have many psychological characteristics in common with dogs and cats, but the jivas in the bodies of dogs and cats, they don't go. They don't. The quest for knowledge, to find out what drives a man to spend his whole life investigating the droppings of bats, putting them under a microscope and so on, to expand the realm of knowledge. There must be something that fascinates people who do things like that. Climbing into caves and breaking off bat droppings and bringing it back excitedly to his laboratory and putting it under a microscope and then applying for a research grant so he can spend another 10 years looking at more bat droppings and so on. The great human quest for more and more knowledge. But here Krishna is speaking about but any knowledge, that is a symptom of human life. But specifically Krishna is speaking here about spiritual knowledge. Atato brahma jignasa. Now that we have come to the human form of life, we should inquire into the nature of ultimate reality, the spiritual reality. Brahma, what is the kim tad brahma? What is that Brahman that Arjuna asked? Now, for all of those who have been studying Srila Prabhupada's books, this may sound quite strange, because we always hear that, well, bhakti is the highest. Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate. There's nothing so pure in this world as knowledge. Tat swayam yoga sang siddha. That is the perfection of yoga. The highest perfection of yoga. So What does this mean? Well, bhakti is, ultimately bhakti is perfection. We find that at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very clearly says, now I'm going to speak to you the topmost knowledge, which is simply to think of me and be my devotee. But bhakti is not without knowledge. Knowledge must be there. Knowledge is a symptom of consciousness. Consciousness means to be aware of something. Unlike the Mayavadis who speak of pure, they think that pure consciousness means, what do they call that? Kevala Chitta? So, just consciousness. But conscious of what? Well, that's the whole point that they're trying to make, is that you're just conscious, not conscious of anything, but conscious means to be conscious of something and to have knowledge. So, knowledge is there also in bhakti. Knowledge in and of itself cannot be the highest, because simply to know something is not particularly valuable. One has to do something with that knowledge. There's no use to studying and being a doctor unless you practice as a doctor. There's no use to studying computer technology if you don't use that knowledge. Knowledge is meant for application. So the highest knowledge is to know Krishna, and the application of that is bhakti. So knowledge is praised, but we find that in Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the further development of the knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, and which is full of knowledge, Vedanti tat tatva vedas tatvam yaj jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabhyate. Knowledge of the one transcendental entity, which is Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. Bhagavatam is full of spiritual knowledge. But there we find, among the 18,000 verses, one verse which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted as the essence of spiritual knowledge, which is to give up the attempt to have knowledge. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiyavartam sthane stita shudigatang tanuvang manobhya ye prayasam jita jitopi apitaistri lokya. Lord Brahma, who himself is a very knowledgeable person, no doubt, one of the materially very knowledgeable and spiritually very knowledgeable, the first among the 12 mentioned of the Mahajans, Bhakti Mahajanas, he said that when one gives up the endeavor for knowledge and becomes humble, simply humbly, passes one's life hearing about Krishna in whichever position he may be, sthane sita, staying in one's position, but being dedicated to hearing about Krishna and to engage in Krishna's service with one's body's mind, with one's body, mind, and words, then such a process is practically guaranteed to conquer Krishna, who is otherwise unconquerable. So he recommends stop trying to get knowledge and hear about Krishna. But hearing about Krishna is also absorbing knowledge, is it not? So there's a contradiction, it seems to be. Don't try to have knowledge, but hear about Krishna. And if we hear about Krishna, we'll learn about Krishna. Krishna has his different ages, his Poganda Kumar Kishore. Krishna, he has different aspects of Leela in Vraja, in Mathura, in Dwaraka. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. There are different expansions of Krishna. So we'll learn about Krishna. So knowledge is there in bhakti. Bhagavatam itself is full of knowledge of Krishna. But in this verse, the attempt to accumulate knowledge is disparaged. And in fact, throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that. Just for one example, one verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Arasagya ka kachushe jnana nimba phale, rasagya kokil kai premamra mukule. That the jnanis, those who are interested in knowledge, there's a mosquito is interested in your lotus foot, is it? The jnanis who are interested in the arasagya, they are interested in knowledge. These jnanis, they're interested in knowledge, but they are arasagya. They don't have knowledge of rasa. And therefore they are compared to crows who take pleasure in eating the bitter fruits of the neem tree. Whereas the devotees who are knowledgeable of rasa, bhakti rasa, they are compared to kokil, which is translated in English as cuckoo, although in the West there's a different bird which is called a cuckoo. No, a nightingale is something altogether different. Koil in Hindi. And yeah, but the cuckoo also has a sweet. Nightingale is supposed to be the sweetest, although I don't know what a nightingale sounds like. The cuckoo sings very sweetly, cuckoo, cuckoo, like that. But I think the kokil is sweeter. So anyway, the rasagya kokil, but the kokil, allegorically, devotees, they eat the buds of the mango tree. So the jnani is disparaged as being a very bitter person. So the jnani, when jnan and jnani is disparaged in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita or by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, well, that can mean mundane knowledge, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jaro Bidda Jato Mayar Bhaibhav Tomara Bhajane Badha. He says that the attempt to develop mundane knowledge is simply a display of maya, which is an obstacle in worshipping Krishna. But this spiritual knowledge in which one is simply interested in distinguishing spiritual from material or becoming one with everything, with no knowledge of or inclination toward Krishna, that is called the Jnana Marga. People who want to accumulate more and more knowledge and study, particularly Vedanta Sutra with the Sharirka Bhasha commentary of Shankaracharya, and they like to study Vivek Churamani and such works like this, and in this way imagine themselves to be one with everything. So, this kind of knowledge is disparaged. And when in Bhagavatam it says, Lord Brahma says, Jnane prayasa mudapasya, to give up the attempt for knowledge. It means that the attempt to, just by my own study, I shall understand everything. That is rejected. So sometimes knowledge is praised, and sometimes it is disparaged. So we have to understand what context this is in. Because bhakti, knowledge of bhakti is also there. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's also stated, for instance, that Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Karopan Jaha Hoite Jaha Hoite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. The reader is to, or the hearer is advised to, daily drink the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Have you ever drunk the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita? Have you read that? You're reading, huh? So, it's very sweet. Just shortly after I joined this movement, at that time, so many volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita came out. Prior to that, we'd only had Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Adi Leela. And that Adi Leela was published in 3 volumes, which is, it's mostly quite philosophical and technical, this Volume 1 and Volume 2. All the Leelas came out in the later volumes. So I saw my one godbrother coming out of a room with tears coming from his eyes. I asked him, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Well," he said, "if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita and don't cry, then you're not a devotee." That was his answer. He had Chaitanya Charitamrita in his hand. That was Kishore Prabhu. So, Jaha Hoite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyan. By regularly drinking or daily drinking the nectar of Chaitanya Charitamrita, one is blessed with knowledge of bhakti, or bhakti, more specifically, bhakti tattva, the tattvas. That means we should understand what is jiva tattva, Vishnu tattva, Shakti tattva, Guru tattva, Rasa tattva. All these different points should be understood. So we get that from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, knowledge is there in bhakti. It's essential in bhakti. Now, there's also one key verse near the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudeve Bhagavati. See, that word comes up a lot, doesn't it? Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janyatyashu Vairagyam Gyanam Chayada Haitukam. By devotional service to Vasudev, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here the word Bhagavati means in relation to He who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By applying oneself in bhakti yoga, then automatically knowledge and renunciation or detachment, knowledge and detachment arise. Renunciation and detachment are a little different. They're not exactly the same thing. So this word, vairagya, not having attachment, means detachment. So, by performing devotional service to Vasudeva Krishna, knowledge automatically arises. Well, does that mean then that you don't have to study anything, you just do bhakti? But hearing about Krishna is the first part of bhakti. Shravanadi shuddha chitte kariyato. The first thing is to hear. Of course, sometimes we say the first thing, just get people to chant Hare Krishna. But actually, shravan is always emphasized first. Shravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam. Shravan comes first. Kirtan, we may ask people to perform kirtan first or take prasadam first or whatever. Somehow or other get people to come to Krishna consciousness. But serious commitment in Krishna consciousness begins with hearing. So What does it mean then that knowledge arises automatically in one who does bhakti? When acquiring knowledge or hearing is the very first part of bhakti. Well, we can understand that that knowledge in bhakti, it's not exactly just like study, 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 and learn more and more things. It's not like that. We hear, we study, we try to understand for the sake of purification, which means to become attached to Krishna and to become detached from Maya. And that knowledge, that realization becomes awakened within the heart by bhakti, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, when we are Hare Krishna, when we are actually devoted, actually devotional, then the understanding of that knowledge, here you can, there's plenty of room over here, you can come over here. Then that knowledge becomes awakened in our hearts. Divya Gyan Hride Prakashita. Guru gives knowledge, formally teaches, but that knowledge will actually awaken with a clear understanding in our hearts. That is also a gift of Guru. We find that Krishna and Sudama, they serve their Guru so nicely. At that point, he blessed them, particularly Krishna. He said that whatever you have learned, that will remain with you forever, and whatever you say, that will remain in human society forever. So that knowledge, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, was all due to the mercy of his Guru. And the fact that it's still extended in human society is due to the mercy of his Guru. Now that may seem strange to say that, but that is explained also in Bhagavatam, that Krishna is the source of everything, the source of all knowledge. His learning from Sandipani Muni was something like the clouds showering rain into the ocean, because the ocean is the source of the water in the cloud, but the cloud appears to be putting the water into the ocean. So in the same way, Krishna is the source of all knowledge, but that knowledge he superficially received from Sandipani Muni, along with the blessing, that knowledge would be worshipped in human society forever. So that's a fact. We can't deny it any more than we can deny that Vasudeva and Devaki are the parents of Krishna. It's a fact. It's also a fact that he has no parents, because he's the source of everyone and everything. So both things are a fact. Both are undeniable. And to understand that, we have to have the mercy of the Hari Guru Vaishnava. Otherwise, we can't understand it. So how do we understand? Srila Prabhupada once said, understanding means standing under. Jnane prayasam utapasya namanta eva. Become humble. Then we can understand by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite katita hyartha prakashante mahatmana. To those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to the same level in Guru, then to such persons all the teachings of the Vedas are revealed within the heart. So, what is that? What is that realization? Well, all the knowledge of the Vedas can be said in a few words. Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, You can just say that. Four words. And otherwise, Bahunam Janmana Amante Gyanavan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatna Sudurlabhaha. Although it may take one many, many lifetimes of going on the path of Jnana to eventually, after struggling to try to know so many things and try to understand, just to accept Krishna is supreme. That's all. That's why the path of Jnana, it's disparaged, because it's so much trouble and avoiding Krishna and thinking you know so much. But even without learning so many things, if one simply understands Krishna is supreme, and then who am I? Ami Nitto Krishna Das. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Then what am I doing in this material world? Ami Nitto Krishna Das. E Kotha Bhule. Chirodin, what is that? Chirodin Maya Nafa Hoya Bhule. That for, since time immemorial, Maya Nafa Hoya Chirodin Bhule. That's how it goes. Since time immemorial, I've been the servant of Maya and wandering around this material world. That's all. So the essential points are actually intellectually not very difficult to understand. But big intellectuals don't understand it because they're big intellectuals. Because they're attached to being big intellectuals, they can't understand the simple point. They can't see the wood for the trees. Or they are Matirna Krishne Paratasvato Vamito Bibhadita Grihavratanam Adanta Gobhivishatanta Misram Punaf Punas Charvata Charvananam. They are committedly not Krishna conscious. They'll have big conferences on so many points, philosophical conference, but they won't accept Krishna. They've committed from the beginning that for all our philosophy, we're going to write a big paper on philosophy here. You can get a Nobel Prize. I don't think they give Nobel Prize in philosophy. They give Nobel Prize in, you know, how to blow people up. Literature, speculation, science, speculation, everything speculation. Philosophy, who cares about philosophy? So, yeah, they're going to be, but you, anyway, I guess you can get a PhD in philosophy. That's what it means, actually, Doctor of Philosophy. Although nowadays you can get a PhD in anything, studying bat droppings. Then, but you won't, you can get your PhD as long as there's no surrender to Krishna in there. If there, if you say surrender to Krishna, you'll be failed. They won't allow you. You can talk about it theoretically, but not say that one should surrender to Krishna. So better to be a simple devotee and chant Hare Krishna and be a big PhD passing stool through your mouth every time you open it, talking all nonsense. Surrender to Krishna, that's all. At least try. Chant Hare Krishna. Simple devotee. No big brain, no big MSc, PhD. And chant Hare Krishna with faith. Better. They're in a better position than all these big so-called scholars or squalors, as Sataputta Prabhu used to say. So, knowledge, yes, simple. I'm an eternal servant of Krishna, that's all. But there is much more to be learned also. We have Srimad Bhagavatam with Prabhupada's, anyway it's a big work, and with Prabhupada's commentary it becomes much bigger. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to study all these books. So simply we can say, Krishna is too Bhagavan Swayam. And then we have so many books which describe more and more about Krishna in so many ways. So that knowledge is desirable. Knowledge about Krishna and bhakti. Not knowledge about bat droppings or different speculations about psychology and becoming one with everything and all this kind of nonsense. So knowledge is attractive. Knowledge is one of the features of Krishna that makes him attractive. Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva, the six opulences of Krishna. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriha Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva Shandang Bhaga Itingana. Krishna is possessed of all wealth, all strength. Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge and all renunciation. So knowledge is attractive. I mean, if I didn't have anything to say here, if I just said, well, Hare Krishna, and that was the whole lecture, then no one would be interested to hear it. If there's some knowledge, then we become attracted to hear it. Because you're devotees, you're attracted to hear about Krishna. So knowledge is also an opulence, whether material or spiritual. Einstein was rated by the readers of Time magazine as the greatest person of the 20th century. In modern times, Stephen Hawking, his name is famous because he's knowledgeable, has some theories, has written some books. Another person with a rhyming name, Dawkins, he's also famous as being an Oxford professor who goes all over the world telling people not to believe in God and gives them lots of scientific reasons not to believe in God. So he's respected for his knowledge. Anyone with knowledge is respected. If in that word pundit they use for cricket pundit, because if you ask him, he can tell you all the batting averages of all the batsmen, and they have bowling averages also. Is it? Bowling what? Number of wickets someone took, and the age, and what they like to eat for breakfast, and all this kind of thing. It's called a cricket pundit. So among people who are interested in cricket, which means, a large percentage of the Indian population, That's considered, boom, really, really good person. He comes on TV and talks about this cricket this and cricket that and batting average and what this cricketer likes to eat for breakfast and what injuries he's had and how he's recovering from them and go on and on and he blah, 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 can talk all day about cricket. So knowledge is an opulence, and among devotees, knowledge is also an opulence. To speak about, to have knowledge of Krishna, that's also, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, that certain devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are very knowledgeable, they are referred to as pramanikjan, authoritative persons. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai were fighting in the water sports, playing. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, and the other devotees were surprised, saying that, you see, these are very grave persons. They're pramanikjan, they're very great scholars, but now they're playing like little children in the water, splashing each other with water. So that knowledge is also an opulence, and those who can speak well about Krishna, and they've read many things and learned many things. That's also that's attractive. However, that can also be an anartha, an obstacle in devotional service, because the same attitude can be there, or a similar attitude can be there, as to the cricket pundit or a mundane scholar, that you like to learn more and more and more to impress others. It may be subtle kind of egoism, that I know so much and I will explain and others don't know. I can say, they don't know what to say. I can tell what should be done. They don't know everything. I know so many things. But thinking that someone, because that someone is a higher devotee simply because they know more, that is also a mistake. Of course, to have knowledge of Shastra is required. That is also stated about the difference between a Madhyam Adhikari and an Uttam Adhikari. Shastra Yukti Sunipan Drida Shraddhaja Uttam Adhikari Shaitareya Shangsha. One who is expert, actually the word yuktye can mean in argument or it can mean in harmonization. So one who is expert in explaining the Shastra and who has firm faith in Shastra, such a person is called an Uttamadhikari and he can deliver the whole world. Whereas a Madhyamadhikari is, what is that? Shastra Jukti? I'm not remembering the Bengali exactly. But the purport is that one who has firm faith but who's not so expert in presenting the conclusions of Shastra, such a person is called a Madhyamadhikari. So, learning is important. Not everyone can be very learned in Shastra. But it's not necessarily that because someone is very learned that they are better or that they are advanced. And anyway, what does learned mean? I mean, often or sometimes people say to me or of me that I'm learned, but I know that I'm not. Well, it's all relative. But you see, there's some real pundit. Real pundit means they've studied since an early age. They have very good memories. And they really know a lot. And there are some such people still in India today who are real pundits. And previously, there were many of them all over the place. In Bangalore, there used to be so many. Of course, this, where we are now in Bangalore, a short time ago, that wasn't Bangalore. It was just a village, but even or some fields. But even in the villages in India, until all this urbanization took place, there were pundits everywhere. And they knew a lot. But in any case, even if someone does know a lot, you can only know a lot in a certain field, just like even in the field of bhakti. You can't know or be expert in everything. It's just vast. I mean, someone may be very expert in studying maybe the Bhagavatam, but they don't know about the Divya Prabandham. Of course, that's in another sampradaya. But even in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, there's the Bhagavatam with so many commentaries. And there are the Vedanta Sutras with the commentary, different commentaries, especially in our Sampradaya, Baladeva Vidyabhusha. I mean, that's a whole big ocean of knowledge in itself. To understand the Vedanta Sutras, one has to be deep in the Upanishads also, because Vedanta Sutras are only based on Upanishads. Vedanta means Upanishads. And then there are the songs of the Vaishnava Acharyas. It's another huge field, and it's vast. In Kannada language, there are the songs of the Dasakuta, that the Haridasas. So, every one of them is so deep. So even in bhakti, even in Gaudiya line, what to speak of the other lines? Vallabh line, and Madhva line, Ramanuja line. Nimbarka line, we don't know much about. No one seems to know very much about that, Nimbarka line. There's so much to know. If you go to Vrindavan and then you want to know what's going on in Vrindavan, all the history and the stories, and so much in Puri, so much, so many things. So, we may say, think someone is learned, but one symptom of a learned person is they know they don't know much, because they're aware of how much they don't know. Because whatever you know, however much someone may learn, there's always much, 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 much more to learn. Therefore, jnane prayasamuda pasya namanta, some humility is required. One can study for the sake of, some people have that natural tendency to study, and that's very good, to study about Krishna. But one should understand also that ability, whatever is there, is only coming from Krishna. There have been so many people more learned than me in the past, and learning isn't all in all anyway. A few years ago, I met one Gauriya Sannyasi, not in ISKCON, in another line. He's a world preacher. I met him. I only met him once in my life. I asked him some questions. And he told me some things. And then he said, actually, I can't remember well. He said, I'm old now, and especially after my stroke, my memory is not so good. He had a stroke prior to that. So he learned so many things, but so much was cut off from his memory. He couldn't concentrate for a very long time. So Krishna gives, Krishna takes away. Krishna can give all knowledge and intelligence just like that. Actually, that's done, generally we say that's through the agency of Saraswati. Kalidas, there's the story. Kalidas was idiot number one. And by the grace of Saraswati, he became instantly the most famous poet among mundane poets. Even his subject matter is based on Shastra, but he's not considered a transcendentalist. So knowledge anyway is a gift. If we think, I know so much, well, that's also an illusion, because we are not the proprietors of Saraswati. We can be her servant. Keshav Kashmiri was a great scholar, and then he found his knowledge, all of a sudden he'd composed verses, Janjanvat, like the wind. He didn't stop to analyze them. He had that gift given by Saraswati, but then he found through the agency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, that there were so many faults in those verses, and he thought that why is Saraswati doing this to me? She gave me all this knowledge, and now she's insulted me through the mouth of a young boy. And then Saraswati came to him in a dream and said, you don't know who that young boy is. That's my master. He's your master. He's everyone's master. He's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we are not the proprietors of anything, even knowledge. And those who know that, they should become humble. Vidya dadati vinayam. Knowledge, the symptom of knowledge is that someone is humble. If one has a lot of knowledge but is proud, which is quite common, that means actually they have no knowledge at all. So the real thing is bhakti. We see that Srila Prabhupada, he very much liked his disciples. Well, of course, he was affectionate to all his disciples, but he very much appreciated Jayananda, who passed away before Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't pandit type. When Srila Prabhupada gave Brahmin initiation and explained Gayatri Mantra to Jayananda, and Jayananda was supposed to pronounce the Sanskrit mantras after Prabhupada, and Prabhupada, just listening to his pronunciation, he was roaring with laughter. Jayananda couldn't pronounce it at all properly. Prabhupada was just laughing. It's impossible to teach. But Prabhupada recognized he's a great devotee. The great devotees in the recent past, Vamsidas Babaji. Was he a great scholar? No. Gorky Shardas Babaji Maharaj. Was he a great scholar? Well, the answer is yes. In another sense, no. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur bowed down to Gorky Shardas Babaji, not simply as a formality, but because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood that for all that I have learned and understood, I have so much more to learn and understand from him. From Gorky Shardas Babaji, who was not a literate person, but who had to teach what is bhakti. They're both sent by Krishna. Gorky Shardas Babaji Maharaj showed the behavior of someone who's actually a pure devotee of Krishna with no interest whatsoever in this world. If you want to think you're a pure devotee, this is the standard. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also showed what it means to be a pure devotee with no interest in this world, but to live and act in the world to teach people how to perform bhakti so they can come to or follow in the footsteps of Gorky Shah. So both have their role to play. It's not that Bhaktisiddhanta, he would never accept if you say that you are greater than Gorky Shardas, but he would never accept such a statement. He only thought, I am the servant. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, what a scholar. And so many scholarly disciples he had. But the whole purpose was to induce people to come to the level of bhakti of Gorky Shardas Babaji. Not that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's bhakti was any less than that of Gorky Shardas Babaji. He had to also defeat all the wrong ideas that people had. But the mood of loving devotion that Gorky Shardas Babaji Maharaj, it was not lacking in anything because he was not a great scholar like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So scholarship, that is also wanted. There should be devotees who are following in the footsteps of Jayananda, Tribhuvanatha, to work hard, preach day and night. They're also preaching. Not that they're not preaching. They can also, without being what someone would call scholarly, they're also both, I've just mentioned two devotees, Jayananda, Tribhuvanath, very special devotees, preaching. But not specialists, you could say, in any particular. They're first-rate, out in the field preachers, and both of them, Jayananda and Tribhuvanatha, looked after devotees who came into the movement also. But Prabhupada also formed Bhaktivedanta Institute for devotees with PhDs who could go among PhDs and preach to them in a scholarly way. So that's also required. Scholarship in bhakti is also required for preaching, both to the public and among the devotees, for enhancing their knowledge of and faith in Krishna. But we have to be careful, because the desire for knowledge can be captivating in a wrong way also. Actually, in the old days, we see that devotees, they didn't know very much. They will find in one of these films made by Yadoba Prabhu and Vishakha Mataji that there's a clip of an interview with Thomas Hopkins, who's a scholar in... No, I'm talking about Thomas Hopkins, who is a scholar somewhere in America, who was... he met the devotees in 1966 or 1967, first of all in New York. And at that time also, he was I guess he must have been a young scholar. And he was fascinated by these devotees, how they were talking about Gaurya Vaishnava, you know, they didn't even about Krishna. And he knew a lot more about bhakti than they did, because he studied it. He was a scholar. In those days it was, Thomas J. Hopkins, Chairman, Department of Religious Studies, Franklin and Marshall College, wherever that may be. We're supposed to know what Franklin and Marshall College is. So there weren't many scholars of Vaishnavism in those days, but he'd taken an interest in that. So he couldn't work it out. How these people have so much commitment to Krishna, but they don't seem to know anything about it compared to himself, who'd done so much study of it. And he said he understood when he met Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was rich in knowledge and he was rich in bhakti. So he was able to inspire. Of course, the devotees knew some things, but not very much. But they had faith in Krishna and Prabhupada. We're not the body. We have to chant the holy names of Krishna. It's not that they were wholly unknowledgeable, but they didn't know much of the technical points. But the basic philosophy, they had some understanding. So in the early days, we didn't know much. When I joined in 1975, I believe the Bhagavatam had been printed up to the fourth canto. The Chaitanya Charitamrita had been printed first and second out of three volumes. There were 17 volumes. Adi Lila was eventually came in three volumes. At that time, two volumes were out. And there was pretty much all the small books. Most of the small books that we have now were also in print. And Krishna book was there, and Nectar of Devotion, and Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But many, many more books came later. So we just would quote Prabhupada, that's all. Later, so many books came out, so many Puranas have been translated, and works of the Goswamis. But in the early days, we only knew Prabhupada, and even someone would come and they'd tell some story of Krishna. We wouldn't be very inclined to hear it because we thought, we don't know where this is coming from. We'll just listen to Prabhupada, that's all. Well, those days are gone. I mean, you can't turn the clock back there. So the knowledge of Vaishnavism has increased a lot, so that people, they may quote this story and that's all. It's this from this Purana and it says this and that. We can't deny that. Still, for those who are faithful followers of Prabhupada, they like to quote from Prabhupada and what has he said about this? How has he taught about that? But there are so many people out there saying so many things from so many different sources, and although we may keep the same basic faith in Prabhupada's teachings and that Prabhupada's books are the law books for the next 10,000 years, as Prabhupada said, but The knowledge of bhakti has increased. I don't know if the bhakti has increased, but the knowledge of bhakti, the knowledge of everything, has increased. But that simple faith, that what Prabhupada taught, that we shall accept, that is still the valuable principle. And we shouldn't be too keen also to let me read some book that no one else has read and then I'll say something from it, and then let me say something new, and everyone will be impressed. It's a bogus attitude. If we can get even a slight drop of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, even studying so many books or not studying, some devotees have a service, especially those who are supposed to be spiritual leaders. They're supposed to study and explain all the different points. Not everyone's going to be a spiritual leader, but everyone should study Prabhupada's books to the extent that they can. But for all of that, if we're singing Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Diya, Karo E Dasi, Trinapeka Otihin, if we can get a drop of a mercy, from Srila Prabhupada so that we can become actually humble. If we can get a drop of a drop of a drop of the bhakti that Prabhupada had, that shall be our qualification. So we shouldn't think also that someone is more knowledgeable than Prabhupada, and Prabhupada knew Krishna. What more is there to know than that? Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't think I'm more knowledgeable than Gaur Kishore. In one sense, you can say there are people more knowledgeable than Prabhupada because knowledge in this world is relative. There's always someone who knows something more about some aspect, just like someone may be very deep in Vedanta Sutra. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers was reputed as being very deep in Vedanta Sutra. Someone else may be very deep in Rasa Tattva and all this. But we can be satisfied with what Prabhupada gave us, with the conviction that all that we need to know to become fully Krishna conscious is in Prabhupada's books. So that for us, four books Prabhupada recommended. There's Bhagavad Gita as it is, Nectar of Devotion, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srimad Bhagavatam. Four books, of course. Bhagavatam comes in so many volumes. Chaitanya Charitamrita comes in so many volumes. So these are the basic objects of our study. So this knowledge we should be imbibed. And if we can have the knowledge that I am nothing, Jogat Bichare Kichu Nahi Pai Tomara Karunasha, that we are simply dependent on the mercy of Guru and Krishna, that is the perfection of knowledge. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? I can try to answer. Yata Shuta Yata Mati, according to my knowledge and what I Yata Mati, that is translated according to my realization, which Yata Mati, according to my realization, according to how that knowledge has been accepted. Yeah, any question? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Yeah, this is the king of all knowledge, the most secret of all secrets, the purest. Yeah, then what does he say after that? Pratyakshavagamang dharmyam sasukam kartamavaya. That this knowledge, it gives one an experience. It is directly experienced, dharma. And it is joyfully practiced and it doesn't come to an end. It doesn't run out. It's not that, when someone called Dawkins dies and then he loses all his knowledge and becomes a worm in stool, he lost all his knowledge. Better for him with that kind of knowledge that he does lose all his knowledge. But knowledge in bhakti is not lost. It goes on. Yeah, then? Then it's understood that what knowledge Krishna is talking about is not the same knowledge that is troublesome. That's clear, isn't it? And in that chapter we'll find also, it's clearly knowledge of bhakti, not of abhakti. So again, knowledge is praised, knowledge is disparaged, both. So we have to understand the context. Knowledge of Krishna is always praised. Knowledge avoiding Krishna is always disparaged. So we have to understand what's being talked about. Sometimes also devotees say, just like they would criticize Jiva Goswami, they would criticize Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, oh, he's a jnani. Because they had knowledge of bhakti. But that knowledge of bhakti, that is not the jnana that is disparaged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To criticize Jiva Goswami or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as being a jnani is a symptom of one's lack of knowledge and one's lack of bhakti also. To think he's on a, to think they're on a lesser platform. There's one early essay by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in which he speaks that, or he describes that Jiva Goswami by vichar and Raghunath Das Goswami by rasa, they serve the same purpose. That this Jiva Goswami by vichar, by philosophical deliberation, and Raghunath Das Goswami by description of rasa, the same purpose, nothing different, same thing. Yeah, knowledge acquired through the ascending process. Yeah. That's that attempt that I shall accumulate knowledge through the ascending process. Arohana Panta. That is condemned. And that which is received by mercy through the Avarohana Panta, the descending process, that is always glorious. Tesham jnani nitya yukta. But yeah, we have to see the context of that also, because that refers to people coming to Krishna consciousness. Yeah, he's a better devotee. When one realizes that bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam, but that you can do immediately. But that refers to the four kinds of pious people who are coming to bhakti. Those who are in bhakti, they're already in a better position. Yeah, go on, ask them. Is it true that with the Guru's instructions to do something, automatically the ability comes to do it? Well, the ability to do anything ultimately comes from Krishna. So if something's doable, then Krishna gives the ability. So if one can pray to Krishna, please help me to do this. Guru has asked us to do this, so please bless me with the ability to do so. With the order comes the ability, yeah, with the sincerity to try to follow the order, then one is blessed with the ability to do so. If Krishna wants. Everything ultimately depends on Krishna's will. Yeah. When there is knowledge about what to do, but you don't want to do it because you're a damn rascal, what should you do? Go and slit your throat. I rephrase the question. When there's knowledge about to do, but you don't want to do it because you have material desires, how can you come out of that? Then what are you going to do? If you're not sincere, there's no cure for insincerity. If you know what to do and you see you're determined not to do it, then you just go to hell, that's all. What can you do for such a person? You're given knowledge so you can decide what to do. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, you've heard everything, now you decide what to do. So it's up to us. That's all. Take some prasadam at least. If you can't do anything else, take some prasadam. Yeah, then?
I understand your point, Krishnadas, Vasikadas. I understand your point about the consciousness of reading other literature and putting something to get some adoration. If our consciousness is correct, is it still bona fide to read literature in pursuance of the Vedic?
If our consciousness is correct, is it still acceptable to read literature in pursuance of the Vedic version? Well, traditionally, books weren't printed and you couldn't go into Ras Bihari's in Loy Bazaar and pick up all, you know, millions of books on all different topics. Life was much less complex. So you'd read what your guru told you, or you'd take permission before studying. Or you, if you're so fortunate, you'd sit with your guru and study. That was how books were learned. Daily sit with the guru, he'd explain, go through the book like this. That was the system. So nowadays, like I say, anyone can, you can be do it yourself bhakti. Get a bunch of books, read them all, and then you can start giving Bhagavat Katha and self made pundit and self made guru and all this kind of thing. Yeah. Well, there are many good books, and there are many books which are not so good also. Better to ask before reading so many books. Even books which are good may not be good for you. Just like there are so many books on higher levels of bhakti, which are not meant for ordinary devotees. And then even there may be books which are good, but then you see, generally we're telling everyone, read the books, read Prabhupada's books, read Prabhupada. But for some people, they're so much into reading and studying, but with the idea, yeah, I'm learning so much, now I'm not. Better to get a brush and clean the toilet. For you, better. It all depends on the attitude. Yeah, then? That's it, finished. All right. Hare Krishna.